On the hardware and developer tools side, the semiconductor sector is recovering strongly from last week's sell-off. Taiwan's TAIEX posted its largest single-day point gain in the index's history Monday, driven almost entirely by chip stocks. The AMD-Microsoft AI deal, the specific terms haven't been fully disclosed, but it involves AMD providing custom AI accelerators for Microsoft's Azure infrastructure, lifted the entire sector out of what had technically been bear market territory.
What's significant about the AMD-Microsoft deal beyond the financial signal is what it says about the competitive dynamics in AI compute. NVIDIA has dominated AI training and inference hardware for years, primarily because of CUDA, its proprietary software development environment that makes its chips dramatically easier to program for AI workloads. Every competitor to NVIDIA faces the same problem. The hardware might be competitive, but the software ecosystem isn't. Developers who've built on CUDA don't want to rewrite their code.
Which is exactly why a $15 million startup called Infinity is getting attention today. Infinity has raised $15 million specifically to challenge NVIDIA's CUDA with an alternative developer environment that would allow AI code to run on non-NVIDIA hardware without significant modification. $15 million is a very early stage bet against a moat that NVIDIA has spent two decades building. But the strategic logic is sound. The way to break hardware lock-in is through software compatibility, not through hardware performance alone.
This is actually a good moment to talk about why this kind of competitive challenge is so legally and regulatorily interesting, because it touches on antitrust questions that are increasingly relevant to the AI hardware market. Let me give some context here. The Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, prohibits monopolization. But legally, monopoly doesn't mean simply being very large or having a high market share. The legal standard requires demonstrating that a company achieved or maintained its dominant position through exclusionary conduct rather than superior products. This distinction matters enormously for NVIDIA.
Right. And this is a subtlety that gets lost in a lot of the tech coverage. The legal question isn't, does NVIDIA control most of the AI chip market? It's, did NVIDIA use anti-competitive practices to get there, or did it get there by building genuinely better products and better software? CUDA is arguably the latter. NVIDIA invested in building a developer ecosystem that competitors didn't match. That makes an antitrust case against NVIDIA significantly harder than, say, a case against a company that locked competitors out through contractual exclusivity agreements.
The analogy I'd use is this. If you own the only hardware store in a small town because you built the best store with the most products, that's not a legal monopoly. If you own it because you paid the landlord to refuse leases to any competitor, that is. Infinity's strategy is essentially to build a competing hardware store by making it easy for customers to switch. And that's the market-based answer to platform lock-in, which is exactly what antitrust theory says should happen.
ASML's retention strategy is a useful counterpoint in the talent dimension of the chip race. The Dutch semiconductor equipment manufacturer, which makes the extreme ultraviolet lithography machines that are essentially irreplaceable in advanced chip production, announced it's offering every single employee a €20,000 stock bonus vested through 2030. The total commitment is roughly €900 million. ASML is essentially trying to lock in its entire workforce at a moment when AI demand is surging, and ASML's machines are the single most critical bottleneck in global semiconductor expansion.
Google developing a chip that bakes Gemini AI directly into silicon is a longer-term but strategically important development. This follows the trajectory of Apple's neural engine on the iPhone, moving AI inference from the cloud to the device level. If Google can run Gemini natively on hardware it controls, it reduces its dependence on cloud compute costs and latency, and it creates a competitive differentiation for Google's hardware products that's very difficult to replicate.
And the iOS 27 Beta 4 leak about the foldable iPhone Ultra is the hardware story that's going to get the most consumer attention. Code strings referencing plural battery systems in a single iPhone casing are a strong technical signal. Dual batteries are essentially a prerequisite for a foldable form factor because you need power sources on both sides of the hinge. If Apple is announcing a foldable iPhone,
that would be its entry into a market. Samsung and Motorola have been developing for years, and Apple's entry typically reshapes consumer expectations for an entire product category.